Thanks for joining us. This is Agenda Awani. My name is Ibrahim Sani. The rescuers in Turkey is actually racing against the clock in trying to find more survivors. This is because the first 7.8 magnitude earthquake has hit the southern city, close to southern city of Turkey and northern Syria of Gaziantep. And of course, we're looking at some of the relief efforts that is currently being done there. Relief efforts are an international one right now, and because of this, we're also trying to find out what more can be done from folks like you at home in trying to assist international rescuers and local rescuers in Turkey and of course northern Syria as well. Joining us in the studio for this conversation is the ambassador of Turkey to Malaysia, His Excellency Emir Salim Yüksel. Ambassador Yüksel, maybe you can share with us from the perspective of the relief efforts. Perhaps you can walk through us in terms of what has happened and what is currently being done right now.
Well, thanks, Mr. Ibrahim. Thanks very much, and thank you very much for this opportunity to have me actually in Astravani. And I would like to say a few words about the background of what happened in Turkey actually. And the, as you just mentioned, the southeast region of Turkey has been hit by a very massive earthquake actually last 2 days ago almost. And the problem is actually Turkey has two major fault lines in its territory, and one of them is on the north and one of them is the mostly southeastern area. So this was happened on the southeastern fault line in Turkey, unfortunately. But the thing is that actually this massive earthquake has not happened for a very long time in our territory. This is very unexpected and in this magnitude and in this wide, and unfortunately during the earthquake it's as you said it's 7.5 7.6 magnitude, and unfortunately the 10 provinces in the southeastern of Turkey was affected with this earthquake. And of course I think this magnitude is almost the same that we have been through, we had actually in 1999 in Izmit. It was a major one as well, and this one was almost the same thing. And so we are trying to do best at the moment. As you said, it's a rush time, you know, against the clock. We are trying to do our best. And what I would like to say is that, you know, we are very grateful for the very swift reaction of Malaysia, for the international assistance we asked for from our partners in international platforms and from different countries.
It's also important for us to have a look into the kind of relief efforts that is currently being done. Malaysia has sent our search and rescue team, SMART, over. They have arrived in Turkey and we're trying to understand a little bit better in terms of what other assistance can be done, not just from Malaysia but across the globe as well in terms of giving international relief efforts in southern Turkey.
Yes, yes. Since the beginning of the event, actually since that morning, I was in close contact with the Malaysian authorities, namely with Bizmapusra, and then we managed to send in the 12 hours, with the first flight of Turkish Airlines from KL to Turkey, 72 member of SMART team actually. And they are now on the ground, they are working in Antep, as far as I know, and for the first rescue operations. And at the moment we are working another team, we are working on to send another team tonight actually, another 70, 75 people team from Malaysia again. And and of course, the global response was very massive, because everybody understood the magnitude of the problem we are facing right now. Although I mean, Turkey is a very how can I say, advanced country in terms of the disaster relief, disaster operations, and disaster reactions, but of course the magnitude and the geographical width of the earthquake happened a bit overstretched our capabilities, so we are trying to cope with that. And totally, I think 76 offers of help received all over the world from different countries. And at the moment, as far as I know, 36, 37 teams are working from different countries in different areas, different zones, according to the needs. There will be more, most probably, coming in the next days. Mm-hmm. Our first priority was search and rescue operation. And now we are trying to organize ourselves and trying to focus on some medical supplies, some field hospitals, and some other needs that we will be met in the next coming hours and everything.
Tonight will be the third night of rescue relief efforts currently being done. There are conversations into how it's freezing cold, situation might not necessarily be optimal for the search and rescue team to carry out their duties. There's also up to 40 aftershocks, actually. Some recorded as high as 7.3 on the Richter scale. Surely the situation there is grave, and surely that it's not going to be easy. What would be some of the conversations that you've had with your compatriots back in Turkey? The kind of relief efforts that is currently being done, is it going on smoothly, or do you feel that a lot more needs to be done in terms of trying to get the best help to the survivors?
Yeah, since the beginning of the earthquake, I mean, since it's happened, our disaster management system is in action, in full swing, actually. All the capabilities, all the possibilities, abilities of Turkish state, Turkish government, has been mobilized, actually. And the different military units, medical units, and, for example, police units from different cities of the country, they already arrived to the region. And all the security measures has been taken, and for the rescue search and rescue operations are being carried out. For example, some people most probably they will be transferred to some other parts of the country, to some hotels and some other areas, mm-hmm. so that they can have a better stay in Turkey. Because, as you said, because of the winter conditions, it's very harsh right now. Unfortunately, it's around zero in the area. Some places it's snowing, but of course, the ability and the preparedness of our system is coping with that, and thanks to the help and assistance we are receiving from different countries, including Malaysia, of course. And unfortunately, just in the 12 in the first 12 hours, there were many aftershocks. So actually, two big quakes happened at that moment in the first 12 hours. But now, thanks God, the aftershocks are they are less, actually. They are not really happening. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that actually somehow we had, unfortunately, an earthquake in Iran, an earthquake in Turkey. For example, this morning I heard an earthquake, a smaller scale, happened in Palestine as well. Mm-hmm. So I think the fault line going through these countries is on the move somehow. So we are trying to cope with the situation.
You're right, Ambassador. There are earthquakes or small earthquakes happening all around the world, actually, generally speaking, around the Pacific Rim and the Ring of Fire, so to speak. And because of this, but nothing as bad as what is happening on southern Turkey. The stories on how the lessons that were learned from the 1999 Izmit earthquake, official death toll for that one puts it at 17,000. I really don't want to talk about the current death toll right now for this particular one, not just yet, because relief efforts are currently still being done. What would be some of the learnings that Turkey has understood from the 1999 earthquake and the kind of measures that is being taken now in 2023?
And actually, 1999 earthquake was a very important experience for us. And after the 1999 earthquake, the government and all the state emergency system has been renewed, and all the system has been re-established again in order to cope with all the disasters we can face. And this system is so powerful in terms of human resources, in terms of material-wise, actually. And And the problem now we are facing a bit different actually, because the geographical width, as I told you right now, is so large, and it's affected 10 cities at the same time in Turkey. So, but thanks God, for example, the people who has been rescued actually from the rubbles, under the rubbles, it's a quite high. That number is very high actually. We are happy at every moment. We are very happy to see some people are being rescued from the rubbles, together with the help of different countries and our rescue teams. So I think Turkey at the moment is doing its best, because this is a major quake that we have never seen in the worldwide, as far as I remember. This is a very huge one in terms of geography, in terms of the width of the problem. So I think the Turkish system is responding, the situation is very well, in order to cope with the different aspects of the problems that we are facing right now.
What about the everyday person in Turkey? Are they going through some sort of delay? Are they calm right now? Are there reports that the Sabiha Gökçen airport is actually experiencing a lot of delays? What would be some of the ideas that you can share with us when it comes to the everyday lives of the people in Turkey?
Yeah, I mean, it's normal that after such an event with such magnitude, actually, an earthquake, of course, the transportation systems, you know, Istanbul Airport or Sabiha Gökçen Airport, is being used as the hub for the concentration of international help coming from outside of Turkey. Most probably, that's why there are some delays and there are some rescheduling for the in and out, inbound and outbound, you know, flights from Turkey. But of course, I would advise to all the travelers, in terms of security, there is no problem at all in Turkey in that sense. But of course, they should be checking if they are going to fly to Turkey or through Turkey somewhere, as Istanbul is one of the major hubs in terms of flights. I think they should be careful about the timings and this rescheduling, different delays may happen because of the rescue operations. They should be checking their flight times, you know, constantly, so that there won't be any problems during their flights.
I don't know how much you can speak to the relief efforts that is currently happening in Syria as well, because there's thousands of people that are currently undergoing relief efforts there as well. For instance, in the city of Idlib, for instance, in Syria, many more. Are there some sort of joint operations between northern Syria and southern Turkey, or it's pretty much everybody is trying to see what they can do for themselves for now?
At the moment, actually, I haven't heard so much about the joint operations, but of course, at some point, there might be some joint operations, because we have a large border, we have a very long border with Syria, and it's normal that we help each other at the moment, actually. And but of course, it's been just 48, almost 48, or 50 hours, I guess, since the first earthquake. So at the moment, our attention is mostly focused on our region because of the width of the region. But of course, there might be some joint operations in the coming hours. Yeah.
Since the earthquake happened, there's a lot of NGOs in Malaysia, including Mercy Malaysia and many more, that are trying to raise funds to help. And this comes across as a second problem that we might have in terms of scams as well. This has happened before, where people want to help, donate, and in form of cash. and they really want to do mean well, but you know, there are bad actors in this sense. How do you approach this topic, Mr. Ambassador? Do you feel that there is a few official channels that you can share with us so that the regular Malaysians who want to help, or anybody who's watching the show actually wants to help, they actually get the donation to the right party?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a very important question. And first, and in addition to that, I would like to once again thank the Agong, the King, their Majesties, the King and the Queen of Malaysia for their message of condolences and for their instructions in order to have better coordination between Malaysia and Turkey. That's very important. And in addition to that, your question should be addressed very well. You're right. In that sense, actually, I would advise the Malaysians to follow our social media accounts, you know, Twitter, Facebook, and we have already shared the official channels that they can use for donations, the official channels of our emergency agencies, and of course we also shared an official bank account of the Turkish Embassy here in Malaysia, and they can donate easily to there if they would like to do so. To the account numbers or to the system that we propose through our the social media accounts. Other than that, of course, we are in contact with Wisma Putra, with the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Malaysia, in order to organize some kind of in-kind donation. But I think it should be kept between us, between Wisma Putra and the Minister, with our embassy, because in order not to overwhelm our presence here in Malaysia, our embassy, we are trying to organize a joint operation together with Wisma Putra and some NGOs, and then we will send them to Turkey through the Turkish Airlines.
And do you feel that right now the current operations at the Turkey embassy in Kuala Lumpur is going through a process of, I guess, inundation of people trying to ask for help or trying to give help right now? And do you feel that people should actually just, you know, calm down, wait and see what more instructions can be given?
Yeah, actually we already given all the necessary information from our social media channels. And
so keep abreast on the social
media
channels.
Yeah. I mean, and in terms of donations, our approach is clear in social media accounts. In terms of in-kind donations, we are in contact with Wisma Putra and some NGOs, and those NGOs are organizing. If there are some particular or individual requests of help, in-kind requests, we are actually channeling them to those NGOs and through the Wisma Putra. So I think everything goes smoothly, because we have been through this in 1999. At some point, 25 years ago, at some point there was a huge influx of items and supplies coming to Turkey, so everything is stuck at some point. So we are trying to avoid that. Our first priority is search and rescue operations. We are trying to send some teams and some other medical supplies, and then there will be, of course, some, unfortunately, because of the situation, there will be sometimes for financial donations and in-kind donations, we are going to channel them to Turkey.
And for those trying to find out where these kind of information can be found, just follow the Turkish Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Turkish EMB in KL on Twitter or any other social sites. Moving along to this conversation, Mr. Ambassador, Turkey and Malaysia have had a long-lasting diplomatic relations. What we're looking at is how we can deepen our diplomatic ties even further. It is heartbreaking to see news like this come across. Do you see that this is an opportunity for us to further entrench our diplomatic missions between Wisma Putra and the embassy of Turkey, Turkey in KL?
Definitely. I mean, actually, our relations are so close. Actually, next year, into 2024, we will celebrate, inshallah, the establishment, 60th anniversary of establishment of our diplomatic relations. Mm-hmm. In 2024, because it was the first in 1964, mm-hmm. And of course, relations are so close. And in July last year, the relations between two countries has been elevated to the comprehensive strategic cooperation partnership level. It means that in the next months, in the next years, we are going to deepen our relations in terms of every field and subject. So we are in close contact with the with all ministries in order to have some deeper relations and wider relations with their counterparts. And of course, this unfortunate event is another sign and a symbol of the depth of the relations that we have, the closeness, the symbol of the closeness of the relations we have between Turkey and Malaysia. We are deeply touched personally, and of course our authorities, our colleagues here working in the embassy. We are deeply touched, and we are really grateful to the swift reaction of the Malaysian authorities, our friends calling, you know, and sending messages, sending solidarity messages to us. So deeply moved, and we will remember in the next future this event. Is a sad and unfortunate event, but of course we will remember as a very important step between the relations of two brotherly countries. In that sense, of course, it's an important.
Ankara and Putrajaya always talk to each other, both corporate level, governmental level, and of course even, you know, when we talk about students in Malaysia and students Malaysia in Turkey and many more. It is very unfortunate that we have to also include disaster management and relief efforts for both countries, to be frank. We are not immune ourselves to natural disasters and any other disasters for that matter. These are the comprehensive conversations that need to take place and take forward. Maybe you can share with us 1 or 2 minutes your own personal thoughts. Do you have family members there, your friends, and what's going through your own personal feelings when it comes to this disaster situation right now?
Well, thanks. My family lives mostly in Istanbul or in Ankara, and I don't have family members in that region, but I have some friends, some people that I know, and some people I have worked with, and sometimes I'm talking to them in order to understand, and they are sometimes I ask them their situation as well. And the situation is, of course, difficult. I mean, it's on what we see is from the TV is open, and they are trying to cope with the situation. But they are standing very robust, and their psychology is high, the moral is high. They are trying to do their best in order to solve all the problems. Yeah, this is more or less. Of course, we are sad, and we are trying to cope with the situation.
Final question to you, Mr. Ambassador. The next few days, in fact, the next few hours, to be frank, is actually quite crucial. As the time goes by, less and less survivors are going to be expected to be found. What is the scenario when that happens? Do you feel that the country is psychologically ready to?
Yes, of course. I mean, we don't lose our hope. You know, it's always we should be strong, and then we are going to move and react very strong to what's happening. So it doesn't help us to think that, you know, as time goes by we will lose our hope. It doesn't. We don't work like that, or we don't think like that. So we will do our best until the last moment. And of course, this is what we are going to prioritize, and this is what we are going to focus in the next few hours, few days. So we will do our best, and we will try to save as many as souls as possible from under the rubble.
Thank you very much. That was our conversation with His Excellency Mr. Ambassador Emir Salim Yüksel. He is, of course, the Ambassador of Turkey to Malaysia. As of now, as we speak, we're looking at the Special Malaysia Disaster Assistance and Rescue Team, or SMART, that is currently on the ground with their relief efforts. And as mentioned by the Ambassador, follow all our social and official channels. Make sure that all your hard-earned donations get to the right party. Always double-check with the authorities in terms of the donation and relief effort bank accounts. I know know that we all mean well, but we all also want to make sure that every single penny goes to the right parties in terms of this disaster relief efforts. As it stands, we're looking at a death toll of thousands. I don't want to even mention the numbers just yet because the relief efforts are still ongoing. And because of this, please do stay on with us on Astro Awani and all the other news channels in terms of trying to get the best and the latest information out there. For now, my name is Ibrahim Sani. Continue to stay with us on Astro Awani.